Time now for Viewpoint. Here's WVOE News Director Dave Rowley.
And welcome to Viewpoint. On our live line this morning, we have the New York Sea Grant Coastal Processes and Hazards Specialist, Roy Widrig, with us on the live line. And Roy, welcome to the program, and you're here to talk a little bit about a free guide from New York Sea Grant. It's native plants for Great Lakes shorelines.
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Well, Roy, the right plant for the right place and the right purpose. Tell us what your Native Plants for Great Lakes Shorelines guide is all about.
Well, we had a lot of inquiries from shoreline residents, especially on Lake Erie, southern Erie County, northern Chautauqua County, especially in the Fredonia area, that really wanted to learn more about native plants and what they could do to help green up their shorelines after a lot of the erosion that we saw in 2019-2020.
Yeah, we've really been hit.
Yeah, the high water in recent years really took a toll on a lot of aging shoreline structures. You know, those things don't last forever, and we want to kind of help people move towards more sustainable options. And working native plants into your shoreline management can really help improve the longevity and really beautify your shorelines.
So, Roy, what type of plants are profiled in this guide?
Well, we tried to provide as many as possible in as many different growing situations and heights and sizes and textures as possible. So we get as small as, you know, little ground covers and vines that might cover little small garden areas or little disturbed areas of soil, all the way up to some pretty significantly large trees like black willow and sycamore and white oak.
So can you give us maybe an example of how you can match the plant to the purpose?
Sure. We also have another resource available to shoreline property owners called virtual site visits, which you can see on our website, newyorkseagrant.org/glcoastal. And folks can submit photos of their shoreline. So what I'll do is I'll look at those photos. I'll look at where they are on a map and try to get a good idea of the wave environment that they face and how much wave energy they're actually going to get on their shoreline. Because some plants aren't going to be strong enough to sustain certain wave energy. So we'll look at that. We'll kind of look at the soils in the area to make sure that what we're recommending is suitable for that area, make sure that the bedrock isn't too shallow so that the larger trees will grow. And we'll give a whole suite of recommendations of what plants would work best for each shoreline.
Now, there are some trees, types of trees, that species that could really help stabilize a beach.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Sometimes it takes a while for trees to establish on shorelines, but there are some very quickly growing trees that are really great in the Great Lakes. That includes the eastern cottonwood, black willows. There's smaller shrub willows that will grow really quickly, but not grow much more than, you know, 10 to 15 feet, and they can be trimmed so they don't block a view. And it's New York State, so maples are always a good option as well.
Now, are there some non-plant activities that can be used to help protect the shoreline?
Sure. In a lot of cases, just plants are not going to be quite enough, especially on Lake Erie. There's a lot of wave energy coming off that. There's a lot of bedrock. It's hard for plants to establish a lot of times. So we like to work with nature-based and hybrid methods. That could be, you know, taking what you already have, whether it be rock riprap, and just kind of adding plants to that, or in the case of vertical walls like poured cement walls, you can actually have transition zones where you work with the upland area instead of right on the shoreline, and that will help, you know, reduce the runoff that goes to the lake and reduce the erosion on the lakeside, because what we see on Lake Erie a lot of times is erosion behind break walls and behind revetments, and a lot of the plants in our guide can help prevent that.
Yeah, so a lot of different techniques that can be followed, some really good tips. You know, when we're talking about trees and also other types of plants, What are the benefits of planting native species?
Well, the native species are adapted to growing in the Great Lakes. You know, I don't have to convince any of your listeners that it is a difficult place to live at times with the weather that we receive. So these plants are hardy. They know how to grow here, I guess is a good way to say it. But also, they're more conducive to the natural ecosystem. So they might be fed on by other native animals, insects, mammals, but they're not going to be mowed down to the point where they're going to die immediately. So they work kind of more in balance with nature. They're just a lot more suitable than, you know, going to the nursery center and buying a $75 exotic plant from, Western Asia or something that's just going to not be able to take our winters, not be able to take the shoreline ice and possibly get browsed down by deer and rabbits.
Yeah, so, matching it up to the environment certainly is very important. So that works out really well. Wanted to get into a little bit about this website, this virtual site visit portal.
Yeah, so at nycgrant.org/glcoastal, there will be a link to this virtual site visit is what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year we weren't able to go out and meet people face-to-face, so we decided to set up this online form, and it ended up being really successful, especially in Western New York. And it's just a way for the residents to describe the erosion issues they've had in the past, post some pictures so that I can see them and kind of evaluate what's going on, but also place their property on a map so that I can see where they sit in the situation in the lake. And when they do that, it starts the conversation with me. We can send them resources like the plant guide or our erosion management guide, or we can set up in-person visits and kind of start walking them through the process of solving their coastline erosion issues.
Is there concern that we're going to see more of this shore erosion taking place over time? I mean, look at the extremes along the Lake Ontario shore in recent years. And, of course, we've seen some pretty big storms on Lake Erie. Is there concern with climate change? We're going to see more of this?
There's definitely concern, yeah, and it has a lot to do with the lake levels, which, that's out of our hands. It's climatic events. Heavy rainfall and heavy wind events, especially on Lake Erie with the sesh events, that to me seem like they're a little bit more common than they used to be. Those are the events where we see the most shoreline erosion. So this is something that we do have to start thinking about as being more frequent and potentially more severe. But I think we're in a good place right now. Lake levels are going down a little bit, but we're in a mode right now where we can really start being proactive about this, and that's part of what Sea Grant is here to do, is to help shoreline property owners be proactive about what they're doing and make their shoreline properties and businesses more resilient in the future in case these things do get more intense.
Yeah, so Roy, really, people should really think about getting started this summer.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of inquiries, especially about this time last year. It looked like folks on Lake Erie were really starting to move towards that, and that hasn't stopped. So there's a lot of momentum right now towards getting started with this, and it's really been great to see how committed the communities on Lake Erie have been towards being more resilient.
So any other tips that you can share with our listeners regarding this issue with shoreline erosion?
Well, what we see a lot that I don't think gets expressed enough is that you kind of have to work with your neighbors and your community a little bit more. Over the past, 40, 50 years, people have been putting walls in, and they don't necessarily match up with what the neighbors do. Maybe they're farther out into the lake, and that deflects the wave energy to neighboring properties. So you really want to think about the whole shoreline and not just your specific property. You want to protect your assets, but you also have to think about the system a little bit more, because there are a lot of intricacies that happen on the shoreline, especially wave diffraction and reflection, that are really important for just not just your own, but for the neighboring properties as well. Very complex system.
Yeah, and I know some of these storms, as you mentioned, 2019, the lake wall, seawalls, they call it, along Lakefront Boulevard in the city of Dunkirk, one of the areas that was just battered by a severe storm, windstorm event that hit during Halloween evening. So those are the types of things we need to be very concerned about.
Yes, that Halloween storm was probably, since I started working with Sea Grant, the most influential on mobilizing people towards action. That storm was very destructive. Those winds lasted a long time. There was a lot of damage on the shoreline. I guess if you want to find a silver lining with that, it connected us with a lot of people on the shoreline, and now we're kind of more embedded in those communities, and we're here to help them be more resilient.
So, Roy, in starting to sum up this morning's Viewpoint interview, again, how can people get more information, talk once again about the Native Plants for Great Lakes Shoreline Guide?
Well, they can contact our office. We are we are located at SUNY Oswego at 315-312-3042. You can also visit our website, which is nycgrant.org/GLCoastal. All of our resources are located there, and if you can't find them, you can always contact me by calling our office, and my contact information is also available on the guide and on the website. So I am here to help people deal with the shoreline erosion and flooding issues. So that would be what I would say right now, is just contact us. We're always available.
And again, that portal is really intriguing for people that really would like to get more information about their own property.
Yes, that's one of the benefits we have of the portal. Usually it's an exchange of information. I get information from the people that are experiencing the erosion, and I am able to provide them with a lot of different resources.
And you can get on the same website, right?
Yes, it should all be there under publications.
Well, Roy, thanks for joining us this morning on Viewpoint. Really appreciate it. We'll share this information with our listeners.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. Hope to talk to you again soon.